Good evening, everybody. I think you all must be very, very tired today. Since this morning, since very early morning, you all have been working very, very hard. Nobody relaxed. Everybody worked very hard. And I'm sure you all worked very hard with great pleasure and joy. And I believe you all have acquired a lot of merits by doing so. I saw you were all very cheerful, very relaxed, very friendly, running around doing all kind of things to make this place very beautiful, neat, spick and span, so to say, for tomorrow's celebration. And also I am very pleased so many people came on the eve of real celebration, and therefore all I can do is talk. You all work hard, and I can sit and talk. So I like to speak a few words on something very important. Every aspect of the teachings of the Buddha is extremely important. When I say I am going to speak on something very important, you might think something different from other important things. Friends, every bit of his teaching is as equally important as any other part of the teaching. But tonight I like to speak on very common things that we normally think and talk about. That is, some time ago I even wrote an article on this, but later on I began to reflect on it even little more. In that I mention my greatest fault is seeing the fault in others. This is the theme I like to speak on tonight. And Buddha said, Sudassang vajjang anyesang attanopana duddhasang Paraisang so vajjeti opunati yathabhusang attanopana chadeti kalingva kitava sato. When you read it, say it in Pali, you enjoy it. That is why I said it in Pali, for my own enjoyment. What it means is easily seeing is the fault of others, but one's own fault is hard to see. He scatters the faults of others like chaff, but his own fault he hides as a deceitful gambler hides the die. He hides his own die behind, and he, you know, played with the dice of others, and finally he put it on the table last card. Perhaps even never show it. So we have very beautiful eyes, and all we sometimes see is fault of others, and we have very clear hearing faculty. You always hear something fault of others. And as long as these eyes go out to see others' faults and pick here and there, what you call sometimes nitpicking, they may not have big faults, but we are so accustomed to do nitpicking. You know nitpicking? on the clothes you find very tiny, tiny things that you hardly can see, but you go looking for them and pick them. Similarly, we deliberately go look and find faults of others. The more we do that, less we see our own faults. And even occasionally, if we see our own faults, we hide them and sweep under the rug and pretend that they don't exist. And Buddha said about such a person, Paravajjanu pasissa nityam ujjana sanyino asava tasavardhanti arate asavakaya. That is, of him who sees others' faults with the view to take offense, the intoxicants grows. He is far from the destruction of intoxicants. I think this word intoxicant is a very good word for asava. Asava is something that you brew, you collect all kind of barks and roots and nuts and flowers and so forth. You pound them and put in a container and bury under the ground and close it to brew. That's why we make lot of hard, strong liquor. We brew it. Longer we brew, stronger it becomes. Bigger, quick kick it can give. So, therefore they are called asava. And if the word intoxicant is a very good word. What happens when you see faults of others? The more fault we see in others, more proud we become, because we are self-righteous and we think we don't have them, only they have those faults. The more we do that, the stronger our self-righteousness, pride, conceit, thinking that we are wholly pure, that notion increases. And therefore, ārāte āsavakkhaya, ārā means far away, āsavakkhaya from the destruction of āsava, intoxicants. So, we always see faults of others. What we should do about it? I mean, it's inevitable, we see faults of others. So we have to do something about it. So, in some arahants in the Theragatha, they say, Chakkumasya yatha ando. Although we have eyes, pretend to be blind. Sotava badhiro yatha. Although we have very good hearing faculty, pretend to be deaf. Badhira means deaf. Panyamasa yatha mogo. Although we have wisdom, critical mind, pretend to be stupid. Balava dubbalo yatha. Although we have strength, pretend to be very weak. So, when we do that, avitakkaṁ samāpanno, the mind ceases to have thoughts. Avitakka means without thought. Sammā sambuddha sāvako, the Buddha's disciple, ariyena tunhi bhāvena upeto hoti tāvade. With noble silence, that individual reach peace. But now we are not supposed to talk, not supposed to have a critical mind, and pretend not to know, turn our blind eyes, deaf ears to faults of others, and stay completely silent. But Buddha says, na monena muni hoti, by not talking, just being silent, you don't become sage. Moola rupo aviddasu. Since you don't know anything, you cannot say anything, you simply remain silent, dumb. But yocha tulancha paggaiha varamadaya pandito papani parivajyeti sa muni so tena so muni yo munati ubholoke muni tena pauchyati. So Buddha defined who a real sage is. Yocha tulancha paggaiha, just like taking a scale. When you take a scale, whenever Buddha used the word scale, he did not refer to this bathroom scales that we have here today, modern bathroom scales. He used this kind of scale, you know, have a stick, both sides there are buckets, and in the center there is the needle. When you put something here, if it is heavy, it goes this way. And to balance that, you have to put something here. So, Buddha said, one, the real sage is the one who balances this. Now, what we have mentioned earlier is a kind of extreme. When you see something, turn your blind eye, hear something wrong, turn your deaf ear. And Buddha said, that way you really, until you become real sage, you don't follow the Dhamma. So, yocha tulanga paggaya, just like taking a scale, vara adaya pandito, the wise person, taking this scale like simile, papani parivajyeti, he measures the wholesome and unwholesome. Yo munati, yo munati ubholoke, that individual make both worlds silent, this world as well as the next world. Here silence is not just not speaking. Silence is silencing the mind from defilements. So long as we have defilements in our mind, mind is not silent. We are not silent. The mind is not silent here and in future. So, yo munati ubho loke, one who silenced both worlds, munitena pauchati, that individual is called a sage. A sage is one who makes this world, that means this mind, silent, makes it free from agitation, anger, hatred, fear, and so forth, so that there will not be any more world to make noise. That is the ultimate purpose of this using the seeing the force. We have to remember that is the goal, ultimate goal. Until we reach such stage, we always see false. Actually speaking, keeping quiet when we see false is not the solution. For instance, parents see children making mistakes, lot of faults in children. If parents simply turn their blind eye, deaf ear to that, how can they discipline their children? Thinking that, well, I have faults in me and children have faults, it's all right. Oh, I have more faults than they have. And therefore, let them have faults. Normally, we don't behave like that. Whenever we see faults, if we look down upon others and think that we don't have those faults and become very, as I say, self-righteous, then our defilement increases. But when we see faults in others, we immediately use that situation, use them as our mirror. That is called Dhamma Dasa. That is, that individual's faults is not typical, particular only to that person. I too have them. For instance, I see somebody getting angry. Then I get angry. Why does he get angry? When I get angry because the other person gets angry, it simply means I have anger in me. If I don't have anger in me, and when I see somebody else is angry, I try to help the person. If I don't have anger, since I have anger, when the other person gets angry, I get angry. It becomes like contagious. That is the thing we should not do, thinking that I don't have anger, they have, so and so has anger, therefore that person is I am better than that person. So that is the thing that keeps us far away from attaining the destruction of defilements. We all make mistakes, and we always see mistakes, we always see faults, and we always try to correct these faults. That is how the world always operates. Every day we see mistakes, and every day we try to correct them, our mistakes as well as others' mistakes. But there is a way to do that. You know, in the entire path of liberation is the path of seeing mistakes and correcting them. And we see the mistakes, the faults, our faults in others, and therefore we always try to look at ourselves to correct our mistakes when we see others' mistakes. You know, entire Vinaya Pitaka, there are 227 rules for bhikkhus and 311 for bhikkhunis. All these rules have been introduced by the Buddha when others complain to the Buddha of their faults. When a certain monk sees the faults of another monk, and he would advise that monk 2-3 times, if the person doesn't listen, this monk would go and complain to the Buddha. He doesn't simply turn his blind eye, deaf ear. He saw the fault and he tried with compassion, with love, respect, to correct it. If the person doesn't listen, he would say, "Brother, don't do that. Buddha did not say that. And this is not the proper behavior for a bhikkhu. You are doing something wrong. This is a fault. This is an offense. Don't do that." He would advise 3 times. And if the person doesn't listen, he would go and report to the Buddha. And then Buddha would introduce the rule. So, seeing the fault, he would not turn his deaf ear or blind eye. What he did was, with compassion, with love, with respect, with feeling honor and dignity of the dispensation of the monastic life, he would advise him. If not, report to the Buddha. Similarly, when the nuns committed an offense, other nuns would go and report to the Buddha. They did not simply keep quiet. So, teachers have to advise students, parents have to advise teachers, students have to advise teachers, brothers and sisters have to advise each other, friends and friends have to advise each other when they see faults of each other. But we have to do that with compassion, with love, honor and respect. We respect the person. We don't try to destroy the personality. We don't try to destroy the person's self-respect. Insulting, belittling, abusing. But we must respect the person and understand this person is just like myself. We all make mistakes. We all have faults. You know, there is one Vinaya rule for bhikkhus. Suppose one bhikkhu is is committing an offense repeatedly, again and again. So other bhikkhus would advise him, "Brother, don't do that. It is not proper. It's not good behavior. It doesn't help you to improve your own mindfulness, your purity, and you all are treading the path of liberation to purify the mind and so forth. Don't do that." If this Bhikkhu happens to be very arrogant, unadmonishable, other bhikkhus would, then he would say, leave me alone. Don't try to find faults in me. You are nitpicking. I know what I do. I am not a child. I am not a fool. I know what I am doing. Leave me alone. I am not going to find faults in you. You mind your business. Let me mind my business. If this monk were to say to other monks like that, other monks would tell him, brother, don't say that. Don't say that. You have committed an offense. It is our responsibility, duty to advise you. And if you see a fault in us, advise us. It is through mutual advice, through mutual discussion, through showing, pointing out each other's faults that we can correct our own faults. That is how we grow in the dispensation, in our practice. And therefore, don't become unadmonishable. Be admonishable. You admonish us, we admonish you whenever you commit an offense. We can see your fault, you can see our faults. So when you see our faults, you advise us. And this is a wonderful arrangement. And Buddha said, if a monk refused to receive advice, he commits a further offense, serious offense. So, seeing faults is not an offense. Seeing somebody's faults is not an offense. Not akusala kamma, not unwholesome kamma. Not a kind of wrong thing. Since we all have certain standard of living, a certain standard of morality, we see faults. So it is very compassionate to advise the person with compassion, with love and respect. You know, this is why we have to have a good friend. One of the duties of a good friend is to try to correct the faults of us. If I have a good friend, that good friend must always correct my faults. If I am a very honest person, sincere person, who likes to improve in spiritual development, spiritual path, would always invite others to show my faults, so that I can get it, because I cannot see my faults by myself. And Buddha said, Nidhinangva pavattarang yang passe vajjadasinang niggayavading medhaning tadisang panditam bhaje tadisang bhajamanasya seyo hoti na papyo. That is, when we see somebody pointing out my faults, I must treat that person as a one who shows me a treasure, valuable treasure. So I myself should be able to be humble and honest to admit my faults and thank the other person for showing my faults. So the other person, out of compassion, shows me my faults. And therefore, the first statement we hear, seeing others' faults and trying to our own fault, hide our own faults, seeing others' faults always increases our defilements and so forth, has a very specific, very subtle, deep meaning. That is, seeing others' faults, if we think that we are perfect, that we don't commit offenses, we don't have faults, that is the problem. That is what we should try to avoid. Not when we see somebody's faults, not trying to turn our blind eye, deaf ear, but recognizing the fault in us and trying to help that person out of compassion and try to remove our own faults from our own mind. That is the Buddha's advice. And therefore, seeing others' faults alone is not enough. We have to do something about it. We always see leaders committing a lot of offenses. They have a lot of faults. If we simply keep quiet, how can we get the leaders to do some good to us and to others, to the society? So there always has to be a very insightful, mindful, compassionate way of dealing with faults. Simply keeping quiet is not the Buddha's advice. Buddha's advice is to use that opportunity to cultivate our awareness, mindfulness, to improve our understanding, wisdom, and helping each other out of compassion and with metta. That is how we have to deal with seeing faults in others and ours. And that is why we have very special teaching, like speech, right speech. When we see somebody's fault, we always have to use right speech to correct the person. Whenever we see somebody's faults, we always use right understanding, right thinking, and right effort, and right mindfulness to deal with that fault. Speak very gently, in a friendly way, out of compassion, and make every effort to arouse our mindfulness to speak to the person correctly, rightly. All the steps of the Noble Eightfold Path we can put into practice at the time we see a fault of others, and try always to be mindful that we are not yet free from those faults, and therefore we all have to help each other to get out of this samsara and liberate ourselves from suffering. And therefore seeing fault in others itself is not enough, but seeing faults in others and not doing anything about it But thinking that I am better than so and so is the problem. That is what we should avoid. To think that I am better than so and so, and so and so is always committing offenses, faults, and I am not committing them. That is to be avoided. That is what we should do. Not doing something about it with compassion, wisdom, mindfulness, understanding, right effort. So with this I must conclude this short talk this evening. I know that you all are very tired. Perhaps I might commit a big offense if I go on talking like this. So I hope you will have a good night, and see you tomorrow morning.